General One over. Beginning of the visit was Nick. This Sunday, the 30th of April, 72. General One over. Beginning of the visit was Nick on his way back from the Cape to Suwannee. This Sunday, the 30th of April, 72. General One over. Beginning of the visit was Nick. This Sunday, the 30th of April, 72. General One over. And beginning of the visit was Nick this Sunday, the 30th of April, 72.
Probably, maybe.
Not any better. I mean, because this is probably his.
Yeah.
You know.
Could be.
The.
He hears more with that hearing aid of his. Listen to a piece, play on a record, and he'll hear more from that little hearing aid than I ever dreamed to hear in that piece. He'll say, listen to those strings down there way low. I never heard them before.
Well, he was so conscious of Mr. Eastman's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he really provided a marvelous audience.
His senses are extremely well developed. He can smell people by their difference.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can walk into a room and he'll be blindfolded and he can tell it's me by the way I smell. By my particular, like a dog does, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's that acute. And taste. He can taste a soup and tell you every spice in it.
Oh.
It's been put in it. He'll smell a piece of meat and tell you how old it is. Just by the minute amount of decay there might be or bacteria in it.
Uh-huh.
Tell you how old it is just by smelling it.
Uh-huh. I'm awesome.
He's really amazing. Well, I got some prospective buyers. People up there, they have a regular.
If he doesn't have too good of a truck.
Well, he has the type that English people would love because it's kind of, you know, when you post right to
Yeah.
It's one of those kind that, that they would like.
Yeah.
One that I can't stand, but one that they would like, you know, that kind of. It's just much trouble to turn, support them all around here, there, everywhere. And being in school next year up there, I don't know if there's any places over there, and I have to look around. And, I imagine there are places out around Knoxville, but.
Oh, yeah.
But.
And then back
to Portland. Yeah, then back after that and around. I don't.
And then a change later.
Yeah.
But he's a sweet thing. I know that.
Yes, and I hate it.
You just won't find.
I know. Really hate to do it.
Oh. I think, Bubba is a big horse.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He's way up there. And of course, he's older than anything.
Mm-hmm. About 6 months older.
But, I believe he's already 16 now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jack, he's just about the size of Missy. Just about all the way around, just about like that. Except shaped differently.
Yeah.
Different front legs and back legs.
Well, that's for size, all right. And that's what the image rider is like. I mean, that size is on
Those big, powerful back legs, you might make a good jumper.
Sounds like you might.
He says more people. He's the one that's grieving the least. Everybody else grieving for all his losses and he's.
Why don't you give Miss Davis a call? Here, if you thought you'd be interested, at all, just see how it looks right now.
Well, I thought I might drop out over there.
Yeah.
On my way out to the interstate.
Yeah.
Go by.
You see, she expects such long hours.
Well, I don't know. Well.
But anyway, probably with you knowing about horses, you see, she could make some fun.
I don't mind long hours if it's compensated for. The way I gather they run out there, it means getting there real early in the morning for feed, and then you sort of don't have much to do during the day until putting up time. Is
well,
the way I gather it, she runs out there. Mark, who's that?
This boy, we got a job out there.
Oh.
He didn't know anything about horses. So he just did work out on the fences and things like that.
Oh, from his stables, huh?
But he worked out stables and she had him out there pretty constantly.
Really?
And but you see, somebody didn't know she paid according to what she made.
What did he make? What did she pay him? Do you know?
I think the beginning thing for somebody beginning was like that is $75 a week. But see, she knows you know horses.
I thought Bill told me when he was just a regular hand over there. The one time he was foreman, but that didn't last very long. But
yeah.
One, when he was just a regular hand, seemed to me he told me he made 100 a week.
When I could be for somebody who knows who handles the horses.
110 or so. Yeah.
Cause see,
that wouldn't be all.
Mark didn't even know how to drive tracks except what he'd done.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like somebody.
Did you hear my noise breaker in there?
No. What was that?
I got that old noisy fan, and if I don't want to listen to hear any noise outside, I just turn that on.
Oh, really? Yeah?
And it doesn't worry me.
Yeah. Well, if it's a steady noise, it doesn't bother you.
Yeah. Well, a lot of noise doesn't bother me. What do you call him? Father Lindsay?
Mm-hmm.
Father Lindsay?
Yeah, that's what I call him.
You holler at him, you say, Father Lindsay?
Yeah. That's right. Call him that ever since I first knew him.
Nothing for short.
Nope. It's that. That's what everybody seems to call him. I never heard anybody else ever call him anything else.
Anything else?
I think his brother calls him Sandy.
Sandy.
Yeah.
But now he's had some right interesting quotes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, he's ordained priest, so he's. That's where I met him. He was priest in my church at home for a few years. That's where I met him when I was in first grade.
Well, what connections did you have with him when you were in the fifth grade?
Well, he was a priest in my church. I met him, you know, on Sunday and Sunday school, and, you know.
Well, I thought he said he had flunked you in the fifth grade.
No, he didn't. He taught religion, you know, at the school.
Yeah.
And so I saw him in class, too.
And that's where he flunked you?
No, he didn't flunk me.
Why did he say he flunked you in the fifth grade?
I don't. Did he say that?
Yeah, he said ever since he flunked you in the fifth grade or something like that.
Oh, he was just joking.
Yeah.
But, that's where I got to know him.
Well, it's a long ways from there up to the. What was he? In
Ohio? Oh, Washington. Well, see, he. The Washington Cathedral Museum has the world's largest collection of Russian art, and he got attracted to it through that. So that's when he moved up there. The bishop sent him up there because they needed somebody to fix them when they got broken, and all their whole collection wasn't it was just sitting there, and nobody knew what anything was, and he researched it all and cataloged it all and dated it, everything, and all of the pieces of art, all the eggs and the icons and stuff.
Well, he can fix things. He's manual as well as,
well, he fixes everything. He makes everything, fixes it.
What does he make?
Name it. Last thing he did was works on antique clocks, fixes them. They got a busted part, he makes a part for it out of something. Just anything. Or figures out a way he can get around using it by making something else. The last clock, he found a clock in Haiti. He went down there for something. It wouldn't work, and he got the guy to sell it to him for a couple of dollars, and brought it back and fixed it. Had a missing part. Used a piece of wire and a hinge, a door hinge, in the clock to make it work, instead of using the regular part. Worked fine. Fixed our clock at home when he was there. Mom has an old mantelpiece clock, 18th century clock. chimes wrong all the time. You fix that. About 5 minutes.
Okay, you fix it.
I took it apart and looked at them. I could see what was wrong, but I couldn't think of a way to make it do right. He did it. He's an artist too. He paints and draws and decorates things. He hand paints Easter eggs every Easter. He gets Easter eggs and boils them. Just regular eggs. And he paints all hand painting. Beautiful things all over. I gave him a duck egg. Huge, bigger egg. He decorated it all up for me. Beautiful. You ought to see it. Everything.
Well, I got it.
And then what happened to the duck egg?
I got it at home.
Egg and all?
I got it. Yeah.
Egg and all?
Yeah. Sitting on my dresser at home.
It's on the inside of it.
All the stuff, I guess.
Oh, he takes that out, doesn't he?
Doesn't he? Not on this one. So he usually boils them and they're just hard boiled inside.
Chinese 100-year-old eggs, you can use that recipe. What they do is bury the eggs and let the lime
take it
soak into
soak
it.
Out.
So, but you still eat them. The 100-year-old eggs, I've eaten them. Just as a lark, I wouldn't go around eating 100-year-old eggs. Of course, the ones I eat weren't 100-year-old. But they're right. So they didn't taste like eggs.
Well, he decorated the whole cathedral with banners. With huge, wide pieces of felt. 20 feet long and this wide. Huge pieces of felt. He cuts them in shield shape. And designs all over them. He did a whole set of all the days of the church. All St. Matthew and crosses and beautiful. And he goes down to the dime store, 10 cent material, cuts it all up with scissors and pastes it on, and comes out gorgeous. And he started selling them. They started giving them $50 a piece for them.
What was it?
Painted
on what?
On felt. Piece of felt. And he gets other pieces of felt and cuts it out with scissors and glues it on.
So it's felt mounted on felt.
Right.
But the felt, big felt not mounted on anything?
It just hangs. It hangs. It just sticks out from the wall on a stick and just hangs.
Oh, I see.
All around the whole Washington Cathedral.
Oh, I see, like a castle, like a sort of medieval thing.
Everybody started raving about how beautiful they were and wanted to start buying them.
Yeah.
And so he started making them, putting them in the little gift shop they have at the cathedral. You'll buy them for $50 a piece. It's only a dollar's worth of material and an hour's worth of work. It's so artistic, anything he touches just comes out beautiful. He got a doodle page on the front page of Time magazine years ago when he's in college. He was at a lecture. One of his professors was lecturing, but he wasn't interested in the lecture. So his thoughts were just going all over. He's doodling on the on a piece of white typing paper. He's doodling on it, covered the whole page. Just solid covered with designs and little inscriptions and names and just all a gorgeous piece. And when he got through the lecture was over, he tossed in the waste can and went out. Somebody fished it out on the front page of Time magazine.
I remember that.
Got all the way there.
I remember that.
It was so beautiful. And I think they framed it, and it's now a piece of art or something somewhere. But now everything he touches, it turns into.
He just all fanned by it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, yeah. Everything like that. You walk into his apartment, and there'd be little the phone book all around the letters, just designed. He has about those magic marker felt pens.
Mm-hmm.
And all of 20 different colors, you know, and he just picks up one, and picks up another one. Beautiful colors, all nothing gauche at all about it. Just everything beautiful. The whole phone book. All beautiful. A waste bag. I got one of those ice cream gallon or 5 gallon ice cream things they sell at the, you know, the ice cream comes into that they sell these ice cream places.
Mm-hmm.
About as big around as a plate, stands up about this high, cylinder. Ice cream comes in, scoop ice cream out.
Mm-hmm.
When they finish, they throw them away, and he picked one up somewhere for a waste can. The whole outside of it, gorgeous. Just doodled all over it, made it just beautiful. All different colors. Just figurines and people and things all over it. Trees and first rate artist. Sculpture. I see a sculpture.
Oh, he does that too.
Oh yeah. He did a most astounding copy of Rodin's Thinker. The guy, mm-hmm. you know, looks exactly like it. Just as you can't tell a bit of difference. Looks like the original.
Probably better than the original.
And he just does it offhand,
mm-hmm.
not a way of life with it.
Mm. No.
And no lessons.
Never had a lesson for anything. Observes everything, sees everything, captures everything. Can't get a thing by him. Read. Voluminously, all the time. Reads everything. And it just all assimilates, and he just reproduces it right off him. I think he has a photographic memory. He won't admit it, but he taught himself German by memorizing the whole Wagner's whole Ring of the Nibelungen. All the parts, he can sing you the whole thing, every part, all of the characters, all four operas, each of them 4 hours, 5 hours long, some of them, everyone, all the way through.
And that's the way he taught himself German?
Mm-hmm. He's so fluent in German now. He goes to Germany. I don't know, he's not German. He goes over, he talks to him. He'll talk to the guy in German. He was telling me he went to the East Zone in Berlin. He was talking to a guy over there. And the guy thought that he was a Western Berliner. He was asking me how his family was and everything. He said he was flattered. So they don't know at all. Same way with French. First-rate Greek and Latin scholar. Knows all of that, too. Just by reading. Yeah, didn't take a course in any of that. He can also speak Cockney, English, right along with them. They don't know the bit of difference that he's not one.
Have you seen that done?
Yeah. We were riding in England with a cab driver,
It was really a cantankerous, and they ask a question and give a side remark. And he thought we were just old Americans, you know, because we were talking normal. And he knew we were Americans. He got a little too much, and Father Lindsay cussed him out in Cockney. And the guy turned around. And what did he say? He said, some English expression. He was just amazed. He couldn't believe it. And then we got up around, what's it, square, where all of them hang around? Talk with them, right? And they didn't know the difference. They thought he was regular one of them.
How'd you run into him over there?
Went with him. Years ago.
Well, that wasn't the time you went with your daddy. You went with him.
It was something. Everywhere he went, if he didn't know the language, he could figure it out. Pretty easy. Didn't take long. Denmark, he sort of put German together and a little Anglo-Saxon and came out with Danish. Nothing to it. Read all the signs perfectly. And Dutch was nothing at all. That's almost German. And he figured that out. 5 minutes.
You know, the amazing thing is, I can believe that he did it.
He's amazing.
Now, I know Nick stretches things, but I still can believe it's all that he did.
I never caught Nick stretching things very much.
Well, I'm not stretching, you know. I know when he says 5 minutes. But anyway.
Oh, that's just lying.
Yeah.
You got that
from
Cookie.
He's got such an inquisitive mind. Whatever you say, you stop a minute, and you get a flood of everything that has to do with it. You'll say, I just can't figure out why, you'll. About 5 minutes, you'll get an hour's worth of encyclopedia material on it.
That's it.
Well, I was trying to think of an instance. The other day, I was telling him how I just couldn't figure out
the other questions on our panel today are Neil Sheehan of the New York Times.
The other day I said, I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't get rid of my dandruff. I said, I tried all those things they said on the TV to use, you know, and he went like this, you know, and he said, well, how long have you had it? I said, oh, 2 years. He said, well, he said, you tried selenium sulfide? I said, yeah. Well, appears to me like that must be a metabolic rate in the cells. It's messed up. Said, I believe if you tried saffron, might do something. Because saffron said, let's see, how did that go? He said, you go from the outside, said the skin's a protective thing, and nothing gets in, but things get out. So anything you put on is not going to get in, so you have to go from the other way. So if you take saffron, which is a dye, a food coloring thing they use to make yellow rice and all.
Yeah.
Said that that'll get into the skin from inside and work at it from inside out. So we're gonna try and see what happens.
Well, that kind of hits a sympathetic note in me. I've had a little itch on my scalp since.
Have you?
And I associated with my barber.
Well, no, but anything you say like that, you can't figure out something, brother. He'll come up with. Well, you don't think it out what the problem is.
But he come up from nothing.
From nothing. Nothing at all.
Pappy died or left him or.
Alcoholic left. Never was.
That's why you see that iron foundry. He knew about it.
He was downtown in the iron works around there all the time. Downtown slum of Cincinnati.
As a neighborhood.
Yeah.
And his mama had brought him up.
Yeah.
And didn't go to school.
Not past a couple few grades. She said his mother taught him cooking, sewing, knitting, ironing, and washing. So everybody ought to learn how to know that. You might need it sometimes. So he learned all those from her. Oh, he's a first-rate cook, gourmet. Unbelievable. He's the same way. Anything he touches, it goes together and it comes out. When I was up there in Cincinnati visiting, we walked out back door, picked up a couple apples on the ground, put them in his pocket. Next thing I know, we had an apple pie like I've never had in my life. It just in no time flat. He did put them all together and put all some stuff in it, put honey in it, put a little bit of rum in the bottom, sugar, and just put in the oven, came out, and I never tasted an apple pie. just like this, just tossed it right off, just like he makes homemade bread, mayonnaise, he makes it all. Makes his own butter, cheese. Boy, it just comes out like. And you wouldn't believe that. It just tosses it right. Just last night he made a lemon pie. A lemon pie. We made it, rolled out the crust and put in the thing. Nothing.
And
you know,
here he wasn't a burnout.
Something.
He didn't have anything to cook with. No.
He did it all right.
At your house.
And he just went through the cupboards, put it in. He says, no, we don't have any. Well, I can use something instead. And then didn't measure a thing. Just throw it all up, put it in the oven, comes out. Oh, best lemon pie I ever had. Unbelievable. Just touches it and it turns to gold. It's unbelievable.
Cooking, knitting, sewing, and
anything.
Reading.
He retains about 90% of everything he reads. He's just coming right back at you the minute you want to know it about it.
And he was as Cincinnati in the slum. And his mammy kept him going. It'd be interesting to know how long she had when he took over himself.
Oh, about when he reached about 13, 14. He was pretty much on his own by then.
Yeah.
Dad was the same way. Same thing. Same type of boyhood. His dad left him the same way. His mother raised him.
But he wasn't in the slums.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cincinnati, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
For a while, just a year. His mother moved around and around because she was poor and lived with a relative here and a relative there.
But he went to college.
Got through the hell. He made him, he persuaded him to let him go. They didn't want him to go because he hadn't been to high school with him.
That was after he was a GI.
Mm-hmm. After the war. He had a GI bill and everything. It's all paid for, but they said, you can't, you hadn't even been to high school. He said, well, couldn't I even try? He said, if I don't make the grade, all right, but I mean, at least you can let me try. You know? So that was at Kenyon, where Mr. Ransom is, John Crow Ransom. And he went in and interviewed, and so the director of admissions turned him over to Ransom. He said, what about this guy? He said, you talk to him, see if you think we're going to let him in. So Mr. Ransom said, you know any foreign languages? He said, well, I know German. He said, well, let me hear you read some. He took, pulled a German book down off the shelf, and he opened up to a page of poetry. And then he looked at it, closed the book, and recited the thing. Recited the whole thing in German, fluent, perfect German, you know. Because he remembered that poem. He'd looked at that poem before. He remembered that one. Happened to be one he knew already. He read it right off. Okay, we'll let you try. So, got to keep a B average, though. He kept an A average.
Now, don't tell me he graduated.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. Why would he want to graduate?
Well, he went to theological school and got that.
Oh.
See, and then he was a priest, and then he always takes a course everywhere he is. Something. When he was in Washington, he went over to George Washington and took Chinese and Korean when he was dean over there. So now he knows Chinese and Korean. And along with it, he took Chinese and Korean art and culture. So now he knows all about their art and culture. Knows the language too. Yeah, so. But everywhere he goes, he takes a course in something. He hadn't known much of that. Chinese. Mm-hmm.
Nick, whenever you come to the kitchen, you stick close to the table.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you push up close to the table. Whenever you're in this kitchen, you do that.
Oh, shoot.
Well, I got to push on. I'm late.
Well, now, what is it about this summer cottage?
What summer cottage? Ours?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my parents aren't going to be there. So I plan to.
You think he might come with
me? And he said he might, yeah. He's gonna in order to make a little money so he can replace some things, he's gonna sell banners, those big things, for $50. You see, well, he's gotta have a great big room to spread them out on, to, on the floor to paste on. Well, that upstairs apartment out there has a great big room, and he was thinking about doing that there this summer.
It'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
That's what I told him. So he's thinking about it. He might do that. Just possible. Pretty good chance, I would say.
Now, he enjoyed Mr. Eastman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said he enjoyed that.
Sort of a fellow feeling.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. Eastman,
mm-hmm.
a man without opportunity, and he was too, and look what they've done.
Yeah, similar, yeah. That's what he likes. He likes the old world. He likes all the old world stuff. Anything that's old world, alright. He doesn't, can't stand hippies and all of that.
Wait just a minute.
And he said, this is for real.
What is it? Why?
He felt Mr. Eastman was real, he said.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And your horse now. He knows everything now?
My horse? Yeah, sure. Just like regular old horse now. Well, I'm not a regular old horse, but ride like it's like always had been.
And his gates, he just knows his gates. That's amazing. And his lead.
Oh yeah. Oh, I almost got him on verbal commands. Almost. I had to make him walk out of canter on say so instead of
mm-hmm.
by nudging him almost. I'm working on that.
But you don't even have a bridle for him.
Drive with a halter. A halter and a rope. One rope out of one side. Pull him this way or across his neck the other way. Then I reach around and pull it underneath and do it on the other side so he can get that way too.
Isn't that amazing?
He don't learn. It just comes to him.
Sort of comes, yeah. A couple of tries, you know. And goes wrong once and...
No struggle. No, he doesn't fight it.
Mm-mm.
Now you think that's Molly's disposition too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm glad he inherited her brains. And disposition.
And the thoroughbred legs.
Yeah, that might come in handy for some.
He did look tall when he was, yeah, just stuck way up there.
Spindly legs.
Mm-hmm. And he comes to you when you whistle.
Comes up out of the pasture. He comes now when the car comes. Just when he hears the car drive up, he starts coming already, then he'd have to wait for us.
What time you do in for supper?
Yeah. Well, that's just about that much time.
Well?
I still gotta go by Clyde's and down the ray.
Well, that would be just so nice if it worked out.
Yeah, well.
And Father Lenz is at that same address.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He should be catching up with you one of these days. We still got to make another trip to Cincinnati.
Oh.
Get more stuff. He was going to leave us, and now they don't have anything.
So I went over on 770. The end of the visit was Nick. This unexpected visit was Nick. This, Sunday, the 30th of April, 72. Sunday, he sat in there and ate lunch with me, with us. Sunday, the 30th of April, 72. Town went over around 7:70, and the end of this visit was Nick. This Sunday, the 30th of April, 72.
Okay. You're going to give him a reasonable chance for survival.
Well, I think that the comment that you made first relates to the present situation, and he is determined to permit them to retain their independence in the face of this. Survive and succeed, then we will continue to support them.
You got to pull it out of him just like you do the others. Now, why didn't he sit down there and make that report on the problems to start with?